only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 6 and then 2 John verse 3 through verse 9 of verse 11. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And 2 John verse 3, Grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond the limits, and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come in any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we have read from thee in thy word this evening the prophecy of thy Son Jesus, in which you said that you have placed your name in him. And believing, Father, that he is the expression, he is the one who came to proclaim you. He is the one, in Father, in which you have been declared, and thus reading and thus rightly dividing the word of truth, thus reading the balance between Isaiah 9 and 6 and 2 John verses 3 through 11, we have a full picture that there's one God and he had a son. And God came and indwelt that son and expressed himself to the world through the body of his son. Help us, Father, to get ourselves out of the way. Help us to die to self. Help us to empty out so that you might use us in a even in a small measure compared to how you used your son Jesus. But be with us, Father, nevertheless, whether we do or don't do, whether we speak or don't speak, but help us, Father, to be truly observant of what you have done in this hour, and help us to be yielding ourselves so that the words would not be ineffective, but that they would have much effect upon us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight I would like to look at the sixth area of the doctrine of Christ that we will examine this evening, and that is that Jesus came in his Father's name. Therefore, if Jesus came in his Father's name, then the name of the Father has to be Jesus. Tonight we want to show scriptural evidences showing not only that the fact that Jesus came in his Father's name, but having come in his Father's name, the merits, how it merits a look at the relationship between Jesus and his Father. In other words, knowing that Jesus came in his Father's name, it signifies to us that relationship that Jesus, as Son of God, has to his Father, recognized as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read for our text tonight of Isaiah 9 and 6 and from 2 John verses 3 to 9, so that we have a right division of the word. For the Jesus only or the oneness Pentecostals, they believe, that type of belief uses Isaiah 9 and 6 to proclaim their doctrine that Jesus is his own Father. But that is because they don't know how to read the word. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They read it all like they're racing through a book to get to finish and then come to a conclusion that this is the one that is born. This one that's born is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And without stopping to think of the contradictions in their reading, that becomes their theory. And that's all it is. It's just a theory. Just like the Muslims have a theory, the Buddhists have a theory, the Catholics have a theory. They call it their faith, but it's just a theory. It's a man-made theories. But because they do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. They read Isaiah 9 and 6 like this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And they read it also quickly, and then they make the conclusion that Jesus was his own father. Because this one that's born is the Mighty Father. You see? Because the child, they say, is Almighty God and the Everlasting Father. That's what it says in Isaiah 9 and 6. And it couldn't be any further from the truth because that's not what it says. In doing so, they do not only have They not only do not have a right division of the word, but they have shown also that they are unable to read even simple words in simple text. So let's read it as it's supposed to be read, because each one of God's thoughts, each one of God's scriptures is a thought from God. So let's read one thought at a time. Isaiah 9 and 6, the first thought. He says, for unto us a child is born. Now, let's look at this first thought here. For unto us a child is born. Now, if we're reading and thinking at the same time, and many people read and don't think. How many of you, and I don't ask you to put your hands up, but I've done it myself. How many of you ever read a book or part of a story and you forgot, you didn't even remember a thing you read? You might have sat there for an hour and read and read and read, and when you got done, you don't remember reading anything. That's how people read their Bibles. They rush through it to get through it. That's how most kids read their textbooks in school. And they wonder why they can't understand it, because they don't take it a thought at a time. They're rushing through to get finished with their homework. Now, if we're reading and thinking at the same time, which I know some people don't, they just read and mush the words all together. But if you do read carefully and think about what you're reading, you'll have to ask yourself this question. If this child is born, then it has a beginning. Therefore, it cannot be the eternal, everlasting Father. How can it be born and be the everlasting Father? There's a contradiction here. Secondly, this verse speaks of a child, a son, and then a father. So it is apparent that it's speaking of two different beings here. One who's a child, he's a son, and the other who's a father. Thirdly, if this child is born, then someone had to be before him to give birth to him. And fourthly, the word born suggests pedigree and lineage. And fifthly, this word born also suggests to bring forth. Didn't Jesus say, my Father sent me? Isn't that to bring forth? The second thought that we see in this verse is, unto us a son is given. First it's a child, right? First it's a child that's born. Then he defines it a little bit more. He says, unto us a son is given. Now this tells us two things here. First, this born one is a son. And secondly, he is a gift, for he's been given. Then if he is a gift, is not the giver of the gift greater than the gift itself? And we must assume correctly that the one who gives the gift is greater than the gift itself. So then we must ask the question, if he is a gift, then who gave him? And we find our answer in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's something about this name in believing it that saves you. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They want them to be made manifest. Look, that they're wrought in God, that they have their source in God, that God did them. Didn't God himself say that, you know, he that's in you, or that he that began the work in you will perform it? Well, the third thought we see in this verse is the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now we find this also spoken of in the book of Luke. Luke 1:32, it says, "Called the Son of the Highest, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who? The Son of God. And the fourth thought we find in this verse says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Is that a name? The Mighty God, is that a name? The Everlasting Father, is that a name? The Prince of Peace? Now let's just not read through this like a book, because if we do, we're going to find a whole lot of inconsistencies here in doing so. Therefore, let's examine the last portion, which deals with the name of this child, this son, that will be born. It says, "His name shall be called Wonderful." So we ask ourselves, is Wonderful a name? No, it's not. It says, "His name shall be called Counselor." Wonderful Counselor. So we ask ourselves, is Counselor a name? Nope. It's a title. "His name shall be called the Mighty God." So we ask ourselves, is Mighty God a name? No. It isn't a name. "His name shall be called the Everlasting Father." Is Everlasting Father a name? No. Is Father a name? No. Then is Everlasting Father a name? No. And still the answer is no, 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 no. Then it says, "His name should be called the Prince of Peace." And we ask the simple question again, is Prince of Peace a name? And the answer is still a resounding no. Now there's only one name of the Everlasting Father. There's only one name of the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, etc. And that name is Jesus. Then why does this description of this child, this son that is born and given, why does it say that his name should be called if all these things that he's called are not a name? Right? They're titles of someone or something. Then it does it mean that his name, what does it mean when it says his name shall be called? Well, our answer can be found in the error made by the translators of the Hebrew word kara, Q-A-R-A, into the English language. For there are only two English words for which this Hebrew word can be translated, and one is called and the other is proclaimed. Now, this Hebrew word that we're dealing with, Q-A-R-A, the translators erred in their judgment of words by their lack of understanding of the Godhead. Remember, all translations into English have been done by Trinitarians, who are a little flaky to begin with in accepting a concept that God is made up of some committee of three. Now, I can understand if you're a Baptist thinking that, because they got all kinds of committees. But in choosing the word called, instead of the actual word, which is the closest to the Hebrew definition, which actually means to proclaim, they've twisted the entire verse to say something that is very confusing and nonsensical, because titles are not names. But titles can proclaim the one who owns a title. There is a difference between saying his name shall be called and his name shall proclaim. You see, to say his name shall be called the Mighty God... Well, Mighty God's not a name. But his name shall proclaim the Mighty God. Ah, now we're getting someplace. Because to say his name should be called and then give a bunch of titles and no name is not only confusing, but totally misleading as to what the verse is telling us here. But to use the word proclaim, which is a literal translation, it brings harmony to the entire verse. Because his name shall proclaim the Mighty God. His name shall proclaim the Everlasting Father. His name shall proclaim the Wonderful Counselor. And his name shall proclaim the Prince of Peace. And isn't this exactly what Jesus said his whole ministry was all about? First we hear John speak it in John chapter 1 verse 18. He says, "No man hath seen God at any time, But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath proclaimed Him. You see? Then we hear Jesus Himself say in John 17 and verse 26, "And I have declared unto them," notice, "I have declared unto them Thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." I have declared it. I have proclaimed Thy name. John 6, verse 44 to 46, He says, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." The only one that can declare Him then is the one who's seen Him. Now in John 15:24 He says, "And if I have not done among them the works which other men have did, they had not had sin. But now that they have seen both Me, now that they have both seen and hated both Me and My Father." Now both, isn't that two? John 14:7, "If ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." Why? Because He proclaimed Him. You see, this Son that was born proclaimed the mighty God. He proclaimed the everlasting Father. He proclaimed the Prince of Peace. He proclaimed the wonderful Counselor. You see? John 5:37, "And the Father Himself which hath sent Me hath borne witness of Me. Ye have neither heard His name, nor heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape." And but Jesus said, "If I say that I have never seen the Father, I'd be a liar like you." Now, if people understood English properly, they would know that the word "called" means to announce. You know, if I called my kids to supper, I might be using their name to call them, but the word "called" doesn't mean naming them. I'm not naming them. I'm calling them to supper. I could say, you know, like my dad, when he was, when we were young, we'd be out playing baseball till all hours, and for a while he'd start yelling out, "Paul, Mark, Brian, John," you know, then neighbor kind of get tired of it after a while. So they'd relay the message, "Paul, Mark, Brian, and John. See, they called us to supper." Well, after a while, then my dad thought, well, it's getting rough in the voice. So he tried a dinner bell. Well, then another neighbor got a dinner bell out. So we got confused. We come home, it's for supper, and it wasn't time. The dinner bell hadn't rang yet. Somebody else's had. Well, then dad got a police whistle. And he used a police whistle. Well, somebody else got the idea. They call their kids with the police whistle. It got very confusing because a lot of messengers is the wrong message. You see? Now, but as I said, if people understood English properly, they would know that the word "called" means to announce. If I called out someone's name, I was announcing their name. I call their name from across the street means that I'm announcing their name. So "His name shall be called" actually means His name shall announce or show forth. But the better word would have been what this word is usually translated as in other verses of Scripture, and that is the word "proclaim." In John 5:43, Jesus said, "I am come in My Father's name." I didn't come as Mighty Counselor. I didn't come as Wonderful Savior. I didn't come as the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I came in My Father's name. Well, what's that name? "And He received Me not. If another shall come in His own name, him you'll receive." And Brother Branham said that own name is a denomination. "Well, I'm Lutheran, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm this and that." He said, "Well, you'll accept them, but you won't accept someone that comes in the name of Jesus Christ." From God's chosen place of worship, Brother Branham said, "And now we find out that Jesus said also, I came in My Father's name and you receive Me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus." Yeah, that's right. The name of the Father is Jesus, because Jesus said to them, I carry My Father's name. I come in My Father's name and you receive Me not. Then His name was Jesus, and Gabriel called Him Jesus. The prophets called Him Jesus, and He was absolutely Jesus. Before His birth, even the holy prophets called His name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then God was manifested in the flesh in order to take away the sin of the world, and in doing so, He was given the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the name. And the name was placed in a man, not a church, not a denomination, not a creed, but in a man. He chose to place His name in Jesus Christ. Now we find out that He becomes a place of God's worship where you worship Him. Ever before that He was born, His name was called Jesus. It was so important, it was given to his mother by the angel Gabriel that his name should be called Jesus, Son of God, and that's what he was. Well, in John 10:25, Jesus answering them said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So what was he doing when he was doing the works? He was proclaiming the name of his Father. Therefore, the name of the Father was Jesus, the same name given to the Son. The Apostle Paul said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He didn't say God was Christ, but God was in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, he said God was in Christ. Paul is not teaching here that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, but he is teaching that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. In Colossians 2:9, he says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Peter did not teach that the Holy Ghost was in Jesus, but witnessed God the Father, witnessed him speaking, and said that he came down and he dwelt in his Son. From God of this evil age, Brother Bram said, and when Jesus said, go baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, setting there that there to blind the unbelievers, now watch, why didn't Peter carry out that word by word? He had to. If a man is baptized in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he's never been baptized at all. He has no name. Father's no name. Son's no name. Holy Ghost is no name. Holy Ghost is what it is, like I'm a human. It is a Holy Ghost. The Father is a title. I'm a father. Son is a title. I'm a son. Human is a title. That's what I am. But my name is William Branham. And the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. What is the name of the Father's name? Any son comes in his Father's name. And the Father's name is Jesus Christ. See what I mean? From Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1, God said, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flocks and the herds in the place which the Lord God shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the days when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all the coasts these 7 days. Neither shall there anything of flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at evening time remain until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his own name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening time at the going down of the sun. So what name is that then? It's Jesus Christ. From modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Bram said, you won't worship me in every door that I give you. He's speaking for God here. But there's one door, and in that door I'll put my name. And where the Lord puts his name, that's the place that God will receive your sacrifice. We've made all kinds of doors, but God made a door. God made a door, and that door was in St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the door. God put his name in Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the Son of God. Every son comes in his Father's name. He said, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. I come in my Father's name, you come in your Father's name. Jesus come in his Father's name, so his Father's name's Jesus. It's exactly because he came in his Father's name. And you receive me not, another will come and him you will receive. You'll take your denomination and go on with them. Just go ahead, the Bible says. They were raised up to fulfill this place, blind, naked, and don't know it. Church, religion, oh, very pious, just the same as Cain was, make a sacrifice, make everything just the same as Abel did. But by the revelation, it was revealed to him what the sacrament was, not fruits of the field or something to do with your hands. The believer can see that the Word made flesh, and others cannot do it. And from we would see Jesus, he said, now look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it was Christ? The angel of the covenant, all right? And how many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus? That same spirit. Well, who was that? Remember, Jesus said, I'm in my Father and the Father in me. Amen? From Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So again, the name by inheritance. God placed his name in his son. From God's only provided place of worship, he said, Now a son always comes in his father's name. Any son comes in his father's name. And Jesus said, I came in my father's name. Then what is the name of the father? What is the name of the son? And he said, In a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. He's come in the form of the Holy Ghost, the same Jesus. That was the reason they was worshiping. Oh, Jesus, see, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Again, from God's only provided place of worship. He said, but we must find where he put his name. For in it is the only provided gate. Amen. Glory. Watch. Where did he put his name? In his Son. Oh, and you say, now, wait a minute, Brother Branham, that was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the name of his Father in every case. I come to this earth in the name of Branham because my Father was Branham. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. You wanting a scripture for that? St. John 5:43. See, I came in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. And he's the way, he's the door, he's the house. He's where God chose to put his name. God never put his name in me. I do a pause just for a special effect. Brother Branham said, God never placed his name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, but he put it in Christ the anointed Emmanuel. And from ashamed of him, Brother Branham said, any son comes in his father's name. I come in my father's name. You men come in your father's name. And what was his name? What is the name of the father? Jesus. He came in my Father's name and you received me not. Now his bride will have his name, of course. I took a woman by the name of Broy and she become a Branham. She's coming for a bride. Be sure and remember that as you come to the pool. Let us bow our heads now. And in closing, no, I think I have one more. From God's only provided place of worship, paragraph 53, said God's got one provided way. It isn't Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, but it's Jesus Christ. By the new birth, believing that Bible. That's God's provided way. The only way that he has is in Jesus Christ, his Son. And in his Son, he placed his name. His, God's name is Jesus. Because he came in his Father's name. And so that would be God's name because he was God. And from God's provided place of worship, paragraph 27. Now to back it up, we could take the entire Bible to back up what I'm going to say. For the place that he chose is in Christ Jesus. Is in Christ, in Jesus Christ. It is in him, his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you said, I thought the scripture reads here that he said that he would choose a place and he would also put his name in that place. Why, the Son always takes the name of the Father. My name is Branham because my father was Branham. And Jesus said that he came in his Father's name. St. John 5:43, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Therefore, there's where God placed his name under the sacrifice of his own Son. That's God's only provided place. There is where people can meet God is in Christ. That is his provided place, no denomination, no creed, no nothing else. God's promised to meet. Only in Jesus will we meet, for that's the only place his name is. It shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find. In the waterway is the light today, buried in the precious name of Jesus. Young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in. The evening lights have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We believe, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you came down with a shout, which is a message in this hour. We're waiting on you, Father, for the voice of your resurrection. We're waiting for the remaining portion that you have for us before we leave this earth, or possibly when we're in that other dimension, which could be, we don't know, Father, but you know all about the resurrection. You know all about the time of the resurrection. We just ask you, Father, to help us yield to it. and help us be ready when it comes. And as you open our hearts to the shout, we pray that you would open our hearts to the voice, that when you turn that corner, we'll turn with you. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song together, It Shall Be Light, about the evening time.
It shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find. In that waterway is a light today, buried in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost is surely entered in. The evening lights have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one.
God bless you all.